But I was absolutely entranced by this idea that somebody wouldn't just listen passively to whatever an artist put out. I really became enchanted by this idea that a listener could choose what they might want to hear, at least in the sense of the integrity of a particular artist's vision. I just really wanted to try to explore what would go beyond the ideal and what would explore all of the possibilities for this extraordinary music of Johann Sebastian Bach.
What entranced you about this idea, and specifically about looking at Bach's music and what Glenn Gould was talking about? Describe the setting.
Well, I first came across Glenn Gould when I was, I suppose, in my middle teens, and I came across a recording of his in the library, of all places. And it wasn't a recording of Bach, it was a recording of Beethoven, that recording of his Pathetique and Moonlight. So I was immediately entranced by a player who was looking at repertoire in an entirely new way, who wasn't playing it necessarily as we were used to hearing it played, but in a way that was, as we know, completely unique to him. And then after that, I learned that he was not only a piano player, but was an intellectual and writer about matters having to do, in particular, with technology's effect on music. And the idea that, as he put it back then, you know, a listener had very modest controls over what they were hearing over their stereo, a little bit of treble boost or bass boost. It just seemed to me that that was one level of looking at the potential interest, but trying to go beyond that, so many piano players and musicians in general learn about music as, classical music anyway, as something that's handed down to them from the composer. You know, the tempo is sought after, some ideal tempo, the fortes, the dynamics, and all of the markings that are in the music, and trying to follow that so that we capture the composer's intention. But as I'm sure you know, there's very little or none of that in Bach. It's sort of a wide open field where you're given the notes and it's up to you to figure out what the best potential expression of those notes might be. It seemed to me that there was a wealth of possibility, not limiting yourself to one particular way, one particular approach to a given movement, but an entire range of alternate versions that would be just as valid and hopefully just as interesting and delightful to listen to.
Your concern about this idea of an authoritative performance of something, what you've done here with your French Suite kit is just taking that away and saying that, hey, we're all playing and we're all experimenting thing, and there is no authoritative performance. I'd love to hear you speak on that.
Well, the idea of an authoritative performance is something that every musician who's studied with a teacher will be very well familiar with. You're told time and time again that that is not what the composer wrote there, or you're not in the spirit of this particular work. And it just seemed to me that even from a composer's point of view, that setting down a performance of a work in amber, as it were, that would be played exactly the same way for the rest of all time just seemed completely absurd. And that part of the joy of music is its improvisatory nature and trying to find all of the potential expressions that are worthwhile in that music. And in Bach in particular, I mean, we have this, you know, this enormous wealth of possibility in terms of expression. So it just seemed obvious to me that one thing that might be really fun is taking particular works and exploring different means of expression for those works. Of course, also, I guess it's worth mentioning that in Bach's time, that wasn't just a matter of interpretation, but might also be different instrumentation. In our own present time, we've had everything from electronics to different orchestral ensembles playing this music. So it's not particularly novel in that sense, but it is novel in the sense of, you know, let's look at the full range from a single artist and see what they can give us in terms of, you know, a wider palette of colors to look at and listen to.
You mentioned your use of repeats or dropping off what's traditionally in the repeats as something. Maybe talk on how you approach playing these French suites in your own way and how you came to that approach.
Well, the French suite number four in E flat major that we're talking about was the first piece by Bach that I ever played. So this music has been in my ear for a very long time. I suppose that there is what I call a baseline version for each of the suites in my ear, something that I've heard as the ideal and something that I've attempted to play over the course of my life. But in addition to that, there's always the idea of trying something in a different way, in a new way, not to mention the fact that this suite, more than any of the other French suites, has a relatively large range of alternate textual material. So we have versions that are actually by Bach, but have different notes. While those are not always played in recital or on record, it's worth exploring those as well to see what they might yield in terms of, you know, sparking the imagination. So all of those things really were appealing to me about this particular French suite, but all the French suites, in fact.
Thank you so much for talking to me about the project.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.